Thursday, April 17th, 2008, we're at an Argyle at PVI with Goldie Wands.
It's a beautiful day here in Argyle, New York. It brings back a lot of memories of our farming days. And we bought the Highland Farm and from Mrs. Ella Highland. Her husband had died, and she was trying to farm the farm, a widow lady, with two sons that were, she said, not steady. And I think some of these people will know what they are, what she meant by that. But if you don't, ask somebody what she meant by they weren't steady. But they also, we made some big mistakes in our first attempts at farming. We were delighted to have the farm. And Mrs. Highland would say, well, you are my choice. And that made me feel very good. And she wanted us there. And so, and I hope that as time went by, I think she did, we satisfied her as time went by, I guess. She only lived a year after she had moved to Valley Falls, and we went to her funeral. But that stops me to remember the things that happened and why the neighbors thought we would, they gave us a year, because the first thing we did was plant oats, and well, that was a good crop, and first thing Court did was plow up the best field that he thought was to be the richest field in the, he had never farmed before. He didn't know anything about farming, but he had ambition to do it. And he planted the oats in this field that he plowed up and fertilized, and a neighbor said that, uh-oh, he's plowing, they have plenty of oats in that field. That should have been planted to hay. But it was already too late for that. And we had already planted it, so I had to wait till the crops came around. But the oats grew, and it grew and grew, and they were so large. The field was so heavy that the heads of the oats were so heavy that they went down, they killed that, going, it went down. And when the stalk wouldn't hold the grain, it was too heavy. So it all fell down and lodged. And it made a lot of work to get that hay in. It had double the work we would have had if we'd planted to something else. Oh. And then I think Cynthia's going to tell you about how we nearly lost the fire, the whole place in the fire. Lightning struck the house. As we'd just gone down to pick up my brother. Was it my brother? My brother David. And
no, you were coming back from vacation. Then Seattle.
We're going down to Albany to the airport.
No, Mother. You were just coming back from vacation in Seattle.
That's right.
And Jesse and Lathrop Chase had been taking care of the two dogs in your house. And you, when you came back, you heard sirens and you got to the top of Connor's Hill. And you said to yourself, I hope it's not our house. But indeed it was. There had been a thunderstorm and a big lightning ball had come through the side window and hit your father, the picture of your dad, on the first phone in Utah or someplace like that, and hit it so hard that it shot the refrigerator and the covers across in the adjoining room, the kitchen, across the room. Anyway, that's how it started. And how many departments were there? Five fire departments that came to fight the fire?
There was a lot of fires in that area. That went fires that started from the lightning. And that included Whiteside Church and the Beetle Place. And didn't you have a fire too, Mary Jane? Did you have a fire at your farm too? But there was a lot of fires in that area, though. And that included the Whiteside Church. That
with
went up and
too?
And lightning. With lightning. Mm-hmm. And Hamilton's, one of their barns. And I, you'd have to research that, because it was lightning went through and struck a lot of those farms, and it seemed to be a path right through there.
That lightning would strike right down in that area. I was wondering, Goldie, about the roses. Like, when did Court start planting the roses?
Hmm?
The roses, the rose bushes.
All his roses.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things my husband always grew was the roses. He had a rose garden. As long as he lived, he had his rose garden.
And even when he was farming it, or?
Even when we were farming.
He did.
He had time for the roses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was wondering about that, if they had been there a long time. Yeah. What else did you plant around the garden? Like, what types of things did you have?
Well, we grew all of our vegetables.
Oh, Cynthia was saying something about how you shelled peas. She was telling a funny story about how you shelled peas. Do you remember that?
What?
How you'd shell peas.
Shelled peas? And we did that in the washing machine. Didn't you, Bronzer, do that too?
I don't remember.
We went run it through the wringer. Open the rollers. And real loose, mm-hmm. And feed the peas right in, and they'd drop, they'd shell the peas, and they'd drop in the washing machine, and you'd have to just take them out and can them.
Yeah, that was pretty brilliant, wasn't it? Yeah, it would save a lot of time.
Well, I'm sure we must have read that somewhere, how to shell the peas, because I wouldn't have known about it.
Well.
Must have read it somewhere in a farm journal, mm-hmm. Or one of those magazines.
Yeah.
How to shell the peas. Mm-hmm. You have to have a washing machine first.
Have you, was there a favorite place that you had on the farm? Like a favorite field or a favorite place you'd go to look out?
I don't know. There's so many things happen on the farm, and the horses running away and all that going on. I can't remember what my favorite fields would be, but it was a beautiful spot.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful country.
What other things? We talked about the horses. We didn't talk about the donkeys. What year did you get the donkeys? The little donkeys. The miniature ones.
What? I didn't hear you.
What year did you get the miniature donkeys?
The miniature donkeys, oh, they were a retirement project.
Oh, okay.
After Cor retired.
Uh-huh.
We saw this ad in the paper for miniature donkeys. and went down to a woman in Cambridge, South Cambridge, that had a riding horse, and she sent her away for a miniature donkey for a companion to the riding horse. And the horse got swamp fever, but the donkeys didn't get it. And we thought they would never get it, but they did get it when they got old and their immune system broke down. So they did get it in their old age, but they lost their ability to walk even.
They had several babies, though, right?
They had the babies. She had them. First one she had was born out in the farm, in the field, which was what they liked to do. It was on that field that was where the gravel bed was, because we remembered that the old blind horse, one was blind in both eyes, knew that there was a gravel bed in that field, but he wasn't sure where it was, and he didn't want to fall in it. And we saw him circling, circling, and circling, and we thought something's wrong with old Nick. And we went up and brought him back, led him back into the barn. And we never let him out again, free like that. But there were experiences that nobody should have to go through. Like you, Monte Carlo.
He's that lap flow, Goldie, isn't he? You can feel him when he's sitting on your lap.
Oh, he's about 22 pounds.
22 pounds. Yeah. He's coming over for a visit.
Well, I'm sure she'll have a lot of fun with Bill Skiff. He's a great talker.
Yes, yeah. I get some stories from him. I don't know if he was going to be a farmer. I think that he might have had other plans, and then he came back to the farm. Like a lot of people did, I think. Went away and then came back to farm it. And you chose farming, right? Isn't that what you said?
Yes. It was my idea. But I was never sorry.
And is that where you wanted it? Did you, one reason why you chose it, because you wanted to raise your kids on a farm?
Yes, it was. We didn't have any children until we had the farm.
Until you came to the farm. Yeah. Have you talked on the tape? Have you talked about how many children you had and named them? You should do that for the tapes.
Well, I'm always glad to say that we raised five children and put them through college on that farm. Mm-hmm. And that today is pretty prohibitive to be able to do that on a farm.
We'll say more about that.
But you can do it if you've got the will.
Yeah. Well,
and you love the farm and you have the energy to hold on to it. Especially if you've got a cat to sit on your lap. Monte Carlo.
I think you need to talk about the neighbors and how you shared work.
Yes, that was one of the big things that endeared us to the farm, is that how we worked as a, you could almost call us a team of neighbors that helped each other. And heavy, when you had threshers, thresh the grain, oats or wheat or whatever you had, the neighbors always brought their horses and came and helped. Not just themselves, but their horses too. And we're right there.
Teamwork. And you do the same when they were doing
that? We do the same with them. Exchange work, we called it.
Mm-hmm. how did that go? Like, what? How would that happen?
Just by necessity, you couldn't do. Bring in the. If you had one tractor and you had a field of oats that was ready to be cut, you could cut it and then let us dry out, and then you'd have to bring it in. And what they would do would, I think that the little thrashing machine was bought by your dad and maybe Alan Brownell and Court. I don't know. I can't remember whether it was a joint thing, but everybody used the same thrashing machine. You couldn't afford to buy all the thrashing machines, so they farmed it together. And you went from one farm to the other till it was done. And shared the work.
So how many was it the Brownells and the Connors and the Lawns? And was there anybody else?
I don't think anybody else that I remember.
The Brownells, the Lawns, the Connors?
Yes, the Brownells, I think. Alan went in on it.
That one's better. And I got a cookie.
But I don't think that everybody did because... But they used it. I don't think...
Would you do the same like with harvesting potatoes? Would everybody...
No, they didn't do that that I know of, the potatoes, because we didn't do potatoes. And we tried it that first year. But we decided that it was just too hard. We weren't going to... We'd go into grain instead.
So would you buy your potatoes?
We bought our potatoes. Mm-hmm. Usually from the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people grow with good potato soil. A lot of people did raise potatoes and sold them and took them to market in Albany. The Menands Market.
Yes.
And I know the Brownells did. And sometimes they took them to New York.
Now, did you have an orchard, too?
No.
Did you have your own apples?
We didn't have an orchard. Just our own.
Enough for yourselves.
For ourselves. Apples, but no, we didn't have an orchard, per se. Monty wasn't there to help.
You always had cats on the farm, though.
Always they had cats. But not cats that came in the house and slept in my bed.
Were you always a cat?
I remember Cynthia had one, and the cat had... You remember that, Cynthia? You got scared one night, and you said the cat got jumped up on your bed. The cat had died.
Yeah.
You must remember that.
The cat died on your bed?
The cat died, and...
No one died.
And she felt it. She came in and got me, and she said... A cat got in my bed, and I said, the cat died. Well, it got in my bed last night, and I had to sleep with her the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Those things do happen.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And I don't remember, did you have dogs?
We had a German Shepherd. We had a Cocker Spaniel. Janet gave me the Cocker Spaniel. She had a litter. She gave me my Cocker Spaniel, Taffy. She was color of Taffy. You know what Taffy is, don't you?
Yeah. Well, what about the winters? Like, how did you make it through the winters? How did you guys make it through those winters when there'd be so many snow drifts and...
I don't know, we just did. You had something you had to do, and you just did it. And that is with most things. It's a job to do, you have to do it. We didn't have everything at our touch to mechanized, you know. It was Is there a do, you have to do it. Somebody's got to get it done.
Would there be times when the milk truck couldn't get... How many cows did you milk? Did you say you had 23 when you started?
Oh, about 25.
25.
We didn't have any more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We raised our own calves. We all did that.
Who would come get your milk? Would you have to take...
With the milk truck?
The milk truck.
Milk truck.
Mm-hmm.
That was a separate business.
Was it Anderson? The Anderson Dairy? Is that where you'd send your milk?
I don't know who was it came and picked up our milk. I don't remember that.
Monty wants to say something in the mic. I wish that we had that on the video. He just stood up and looked right at the mic like he was going to...
Did?
He was going to say something.
Trying to get up there and get on Cynthia's jacket. It was very nice to sleep. That's his favorite spot.
We should talk about when Cynthia and George took the, was it the pig pen? What building did you take to...
No. Benji and Cynthia took the wagon house.
Oh, yeah. It was a wagon house?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Was the dog house? Or was it the hog house?
It was a hog house? You had so many nice outbuildings.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. What? How many are there? There's several, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now
Bill coming in.
Are you still recording?
Yep, but we can stop. We can pause it right
now.
Hi,
Goldie.
Why don't I just say that, that Bill's gift has joined us, and we're going to continue our conversation. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Start over.
Talk about old times.
Well, I found out your name is really Goldie. That's an unusual name, but that's all right. And of course, your sister Alice is in the same area. She lives in the room next to me. We're all in this retirement home and Argyle.
Mm-hmm. Now,
it's nice to see you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now, say what you said before about your connection to Goldie's neighbors. Remember when you came in, you said you grew up, you live next to the Beetle Farm?
Mm-hmm.
So say what, your connection to the Beetle Farm.
Well, Goldie, Court Wand, lived next to the Beetle Farm, which was my mother's home farm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still in the family. My nephew is working that farm right now.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Skiff, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the Beetles, my mother... It was a Beetle, and she had her brother Harmon lived on the farm next to where Goldie lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where is Harmon now? He's here, isn't he?
Hmm?
Harmon, Louise's son.
Oh, no. Harmon, no. He died a long time ago. My mother had two brothers, Harmon and Joe Beetle.
No, but she had a son, Harmon, Louise.
My mother, Carrie Beetle. And Joe Beetle lived in Hartford, in the Hartford area, New York. And Harmon lived on the farm next to where you lived. But that's now being run by my mother's son, the grandson. I remember my son, so it's my nephew.
Yeah. Now, who lived there when you moved there?
Mrs. Highland. Ella Highland.
Uh-huh.
H.I. Ella, and her husband was Tom Highland. She had a son, Tom, and she has another son, Frank, and another son, John.
What name?
Highland.
Highland?
Lived
at the Highland.
Highland. Yeah.
Highlands lived on the Ron's farm.
Yeah, that's right. I remember. I didn't know those people.
Well, your dad
some
of your family worked for her, too. Ran the farm for her for a while.
My grandfather.
Yeah.
Yeah. After her husband died.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. My here's a story. My grandfather Bill Connor, William Connor. He was working a field in back of Goldie's farm and lost his watch. Did you ever hear this story? And he lost his watch, and I think it was probably at least 4 years later where they were plowing up there, and he found it. And I have it. It's the little pocket watch in the marks from the plow. You know, the dents from the plow were in there. But it was a story that I was told because it was years later that they plowed up the watch again.
That's amazing.
Isn't that something? How's going to happen? From the watch.
We were talking about farming, Bill, just about farming with horses and Goldie.
That's what I interviewed here, and I'm telling about starting with horses and tractors. I had tractors, you know, that put a lot of horse equipment because we did, plowing, but then got tractors. The tractors are taking over the plowing. We'd use horses to drilling the oats and planting the corn and hauling the wagon, hauling the hay.
I was saying to Goldie, how did you get through the winters when you were farming like that? Mm-hmm. Like, how did you do it? How did you get through all those cold, windy, drifty winters?
You had it, and you did it.
During my time in 1920s on through the 30s, when they had the Depression, of course, didn't do much, but we just had to make a living, and we did, because we could keep our expenses down by having horses.
We had a wood furnace. We burned wood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we burned.
And had a pipeless furnace.
Yeah.
Just one register, a central register. Everybody liked to cuddle over that.
I imagine.
You stand on the register.
But the house that Elsie and I moved into had been abandoned for quite some, well, it hadn't been abandoned, but a couple of people around it, older people, and the husband died, and she had it, and it was, of course, it was on the market. But when we went there, they had electric lights around, bulbs here, but that's about it.
Well, we had the Delco system, but you made your own electricity. We did ours. Mrs. Highland had a Delco system with batteries that every morning car would have to start the engine up and charge the batteries.
Yeah. Well, they had that on my father's home farm. They had, where I was born, that was down in the Beetle Hill area, they had Delco down there and they had put lights in. But in Greenwich, when Elsie and I moved to the house there in 1940, they had just lights in, but there was no plumbing, no inside plumbing, and nothing running by electricity.
Well, we put in plumbing.
But they had a plumber come in, and he put in a bathroom, and the water came from a well off in the area, then so I had to...
We had wonderful water, wonderful spring water.
Well, then we had plenty of water after that.
My Mrs. Highland in her advertisement spoke about it, and the ad was well watered, and it was with springs.
Yeah.
Wonderful water. Mm-hmm. And that was a selling point for most people.
Yeah.
Did you put in the indoor plumbing, Goldie?
Hmm?
Did you put in the indoor plumbing when you moved in?
Yeah. It's one of the first things Cord did. He could do all his own work. Mm-hmm. He knows how to do everything. He had a good friend that taught him all that.
Well, Goldie, we all went, the two of us went through all the stages, didn't we?
We did. We did too. That's for sure.
Okay.
Lots of changes.
Yeah.
Yeah, seen a lot. What about, did you both, was the cooking done on a wood stove? A kitchen wood stove?
We had a good wood stove with a reservoir on the side. The hell water, but there's always hot water available.
Only the Brownells that lived back in the lane. I can't think of their first name.
I think the boy that lives there now is Jack.
Hmm?
I think Jack lives on the on the brown nose.
I'm trying to think because they're my age, and I'm trying to think of his name.
Well, it was...
Brownell.
Yeah, Brownell. Jack is his brother. What was the boy's name?
Well, Charles would be Bill's age, right? Or no? No?
Anyway, the Brownells lived in that house back in Lane. You lived there. They, of course, lived there at the same time.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Jack and... what was his brother?
Alan and
Mitch. What's Jack's brother's name? The older boy.
Jack's brother?
Yeah, Jack Brownell's brother. I think he went out west after a while.
He did.
But I don't remember his name. Anyway.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember all of them. The house that I live in was built for George Brownell and Phoebe Whipple. They lived in that house. And then I think the Pearson family house was built for Brownell as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For Nate with Daniel Brownell's children.
Is that Whipple related to Joe Whipple in Greenwich?
Yeah, she was from Greenwich, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. I think two of the Brownells married into the Whipples from Greenwich. I mean, I'm talking long time ago. What was the date that your house was built?
1800.
1800.
Yes, and they tell us, one of the stories they tell about the steps. Mrs. Highland...